Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2. And this message and the message tomorrow night is really tied together. But this message is absolutely crucial, first of all. And the message deals with you understanding your position as a child of God. Now, you find 1 Peter chapter 2, look at me, because I want to do something right now. If I'm going to take this preach, and by the way, I am dumb left-sided. Everything I do is on the left side. Okay? And if I took this preaching finger right here and pointed you out as a man, or else as a lady, and just stand up right now, lady. Hey, fella, sit up right now. Tell me, what is your position as a child of God? What would you do? Would you stand and say, well, I don't really know? Or would you say, one, this is my position. Two, this is my position. Three, this is my position. I'm afraid that many of God's people do not have a clear Bible concept of what our position is in Jesus Christ. And I pray when you walk out that door tonight, you may have a clear understanding of what your position is in Jesus Christ. Would you all right now look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our dear Father, tonight, we ask for the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God, apply it to our lives, Lord. May it be a message that will edify the body of believers and draw the unsaved to Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we find the very first position of a child of God announced in verse 9. Well, the Word of God says that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And there is your first position. The Bible declares you are a peculiar people. Now, when we use the word peculiar, we usually use it in a negative sense, like someone who's weird, someone who's odd, or else someone who's a nerd. Now, when I went to high school in West Virginia, I went to a public high school. And that's when blue jeans were the in style, and your shirts with the collar up. Man, that was the style. Well, we had one man in this public high school who wore a black suit every day to high school, a white shirt, a black tie, black rimmed glasses, and carried a black Bible like this. And you would avoid this guy. As a matter of fact, you would go on the other side of the street when he came down. This kid would be an ultra nerd by today's standards. He was really weird. Well, when I got saved on January 17th of my senior year. And that was on the Sunday that I got saved. Well, Monday, I'm walking to machine shop. And while I'm walking to machine shop with my athletic jacket on, with my footballs and my baseballs and my stripes and my letters and all these chains, you know, I'm coming to the very busy intersection where all the teenagers cross. And when I got there, I heard someone scream out real loud, "Brother Jerry." I was never called Brother Jerry in my entire life. And I looked around, and guess who came running toward me like this? Yeah, this guy. Yeah, this guy in the black suit. And before I knew it, he was right there, right on me. And so he said out loud, he said, "I understand you got saved last night." Well, I did get saved, 17 years of age, and how I thank God as a young man I came to Jesus Christ. And I was not ashamed of it. And I said, "Yes, I got saved last night." And he said out loud in front of guys I played football with and baseball players, he said, "Well, praise the Lord." Now, when I say we are peculiar, we don't mean that. We are talking about something that's deeper. We are talking about your character. And you know what, child of God? Your life ought to be peculiar in the good sense. When someone looks at you, they say, you know, there's something peculiar about that man. He does not use profanity. Hey, she does not steal money out of the cash register. Hey, he doesn't steal tools from the job like we do. Hey, there's something different about that girl. Did you notice she prayed over her food on her break? There's something peculiar about that person. What are they talking about? They're talking about your character. And look, child of God, our lives are to be peculiar in the eyesight of the world. We have something they don't have. We are people of honesty. We are people of character. We are people of integrity. And my friend, your first position, you are a peculiar people. Number two, look in verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Number two, the word of God says, and you'll underline this in your Bible, we are the people of God. That's very crucial. Look at me, I'll tell you why. Because this ought to be obvious by our conducts. The Bible says we are the people of God. You know, no one should put a question mark over our heads and wonder if we belong to the Lord or not. In other words, we don't come here and sing songs of, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, and go home. We got our rock music and all this rot. We do not have two kinds of reading material. We don't have the Bible here at church and go home and we're involved in pornography. No, we don't have two kinds of friends. We don't have those who are Christian friends and then those who are perverts. And we don't have two types of language. We don't talk like a Christian here at church and go home and use profanity. Something about us ought to reveal that we are the people of God by our very conducts. We are people who will always respond in a fashion to reveal the character of God by our conducts. For example, several years ago, I had a truck when I pulled a trailer. And by the way, I pulled a trailer for 28 years. And I could write a book on the horror stories of pulling a trailer. Now, Scott and Debbie have a trailer back here, and my son Brent and his wife have a trailer. They pull one, and Todd and his wife, they all pull trailers. And you've got to when you have a family on the road. And so, I had this truck, and the trailer hitch broke. It fell on the back of my truck. And it did $3,000 worth of damage. Because Allstate came out, and they looked at my truck, and they gave me a check for $3,000. Well, the pastor I was with said, now, Jerry, there's a man in our church who could fix this for you. So I took the truck out to this man's place. And I said, brother, how much would it cost to get this truck fixed? He said, I could do it for you for $2,000. I said, wow, that's marvelous. And so I had this man in the church fix my truck for $2,000. And when I went to pick the truck up, I took the youth pastor with me. And I got my checkbook out, and I want to make sure. And so I said, now, brother, how much do I owe you? He said, $2,000. I said, that's all? He said, that's all. I said, well, great. And I wrote the man out a check for $2,000. The next year, I'm preaching at the Wilds in North Carolina. And by the way, I spoke there for close to 30 years at the youth camps. And I was preaching down at the youth camp at the Wilds. And this youth pastor in that church in Michigan brought a group of teenagers to the camp when I was preaching at the Wilds. And one day, he walks up to me and said, Brother Savinsky, may I speak with you for a moment? I said, sure, what is it? He said, you know the man who fixed your truck? I said, yes. He said, he left the church because of that. I said, he left the church because he fixed my truck? He said, yes, Brother Jerry. He said, you did not pay him for his labor. I said, Brother Jack, you were with me when I asked the man how much I owed him. And he said, $2,000. I said, is that all? He said, that's all. You heard that, Brother Jack. He said, you know what, Brother Jerry? I think if you'd write him a check for $100 and tell him it was an oversight, I think that'd make things right. And I said, look, brother, first of all, that would be lying. Because it was not an oversight. He told me the total amount was $2,000. And I said to Brother Jack, I will not send him $100. I will send him $500. And I sent that man $500. You know why? Because my name is more important than money. And you know what, son of God? When you're wronged, although you may be innocent, you just do not let a thing like that slide. You go over and above what's required and make the thing right. Why? Because we are the people of God. What kind of testimony would I have if I did not pay my bills as I go around America? You know what, son of God? Our lives ought to reflect the Lord by our conduct. Third of all, look please with me at verse 11. Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Third of all, underline the word pilgrims. Because your third position, the Bible declares, we are a pilgrim. That is, our conversation, which means our manner of living. Now look at me please. I know what you're thinking. I'm a pilgrim. Yes, you got your nice black hat on. You got your white socks and your black pants. And you got your muzzleloader. And you're walking around. Oh boy, I'm a pilgrim. Now we are not talking about that kind of pilgrim. By the way, several years ago, Sharon and I had meetings in Massachusetts. And I'll tell you right now, I've never heard. And by the way, if there's anyone from Massachusetts, I love Massachusetts. And I do love your accent. It's just a little different, okay? And I walked in the church, and I said, sir, what is your name? Now, this is my first time in Massachusetts. I said, sir, what is your name? He said, Bob. I said, Bob? He said, yeah, Bob. I said, sir, what is your name? He said, Harvey. I said, Harvey? He said, yeah, Harvey. So I got to preach that morning and I said, you know, congregation, there's one thing I notice about you folk here in Massachusetts, and that is y'all have an accent. And they ran to the floor. They really did. You know why? They were intrigued with my accent as much as I was with their accent. And by the way, I'm part Russian and I'm part Lithuanian and I'm part West Virginian. All right? But when I was in Massachusetts, I got to go and see the Mayflower 2, which is an identical replica of the Mayflower in which the Pilgrims came to America. Now, when I was in 7th grade, I must have been daydreaming, which I did do a lot of daydreaming in school. I thought the Mayflower was an ocean liner. Congregation, the Mayflower was a small ship. The Mayflower 2 could only hold 112 people. When you go down in the bottom of the ship and see where they slept, you cannot think they could get 50 people down there, let alone 112 people. However, please listen, pilgrims were people who had a final destination in mind. And this is very significant, but I have your unusual attention right here at this pulpit right now. Because I want to share with you a truth I got a hold of many years ago, which I now want to share with you. And to do so, you've got to look at this pulpit right here. Only this pulpit. And focus at me right now as I share this truth with you. Right here, this represents our birth dates. My birth date is September 10th. That's when I was born in this world. This represents your birth date, whatever it is, as a lady or man. This is when you were a little baby right here, all right? Now watch this. We go from right here as a baby to right here, and that's all. And this one step represents from the time you're a baby until you're 19 years of age. And there's some of you right now, you are in this category from babyhood to 19 years of age. And here you are. Life is exciting. Life is vivacious. You guys, you've got this boundless energy. You ladies, oh, there's not a wrinkle on your face. Oh, life is so exciting. Yes, here you were, a baby. Now, you are up to 19, the teenage years. Now, watch this. We take one more step, and this is middle age, and will not stay there very long with you people, all right? And so, here you are, a baby, soon, up to 19 years of age, soon, middle age, and right here, this represents 100 years of age. Where am I? All right. Now watch this. Right here, this represents millions of years. This is billions of years. This is trillions of years. And right here represents eternity. Look back at this small thing right here called time. Just this called time. I am no Shakespearean, by the way, in any stretch of imagination. I'm from the hills of West Virginia. But Shakespeare wrote this exact statement. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow. A poor play that struts and frets his hour upon the stage. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The Bible declares in James 4:14, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life goes by quickly. And here is a major problem. Most people, all they live for and look at is just this life. And therefore, they become very possessive. And they want to have the best clothes. They want to have the best food, the best cars. They want to have a lovely home. Everything is just looking at this life. Now look at me. Very few people look beyond this life and live their life in light of eternity. You know why? We fail to realize we are a pilgrim. We are just passing through this thing called life. Time will be brief for all of us. And we got to be very careful that we don't get a hold on this life. A man of God many years ago said to me, Jerry, do not get a hold of things. They have a way of getting a hold of you. Many years ago, I thought this thing through and came up with a statement. Please listen to it. People possess possessions, and then possessions possess them and chokes the spiritual life right out of them. Why? Because we have failed to realize we don't live our life just for this life. As a child of God, I'm a pilgrim. I'm living my life in light of eternity. And you know what? I've never gotten over that. I'm living my life in light of eternity. So you, as a child of God tonight, to understand biblically your position, the Bible declares you are a peculiar people. You've got character. You are the people of God. That's obvious by your conduct. You're a pilgrim. You're just passing through this life, living your life in light of eternity. And my friend, when you get a hold of this truth from the Word of God, it can absolutely begin to make you live your life the way it should be lived, according to the Word of God. But go back to verse 9, because I want to show you a great truth in verse 9. To do so, I read the whole verse to you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, now get this, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous lights. Now look here. If you're unsaved, you can never understand this message until there's a time in your life when you realize that your life is a life of darkness if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Now, our home was a place of darkness. With all the fighting, with all the profanity, with all of the things that went on in our home. And I'll tell you right now, when Christ saved our home, it's like God taking our house, our home, out of sheer blackness and thrust us into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And Christ did say in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I can look back to a specific time in my life when I saw God reach down and God save my life. There's never been a doubt of the fact our home was rescued from darkness and Christ, the light of the world, flooded our home and then flooded our lives. There are people perhaps in this area that you know whose lives, and they're good people, and they're honest people, and they're people searching. Several years ago, I was preaching in Michigan, and there's a young man. The guy was 18, I think, years of age, and he was an outstanding football player. And they brought him to our meetings. And at the close of the meeting, the young man would begin to talk. He said, "Well, really, I'm searching." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yes, I'm really searching." And so, I took the young man in the side room, and I gave that young man the way of salvation. He said, "This is what I need. I've got religion, but I did not know I had to come to Christ and be saved." And that young man received Christ as his Savior. In the same church was a young man around 16 years of age who came to me. This was 2 years ago, or 15 years of age, and his name was Micah. And Micah said to me, he said, "Can I speak with you?" I said, "Sure, what is it, Micah?" He said, "I don't know if I'm saved." And I took the Word of God at the close of that chapel hour, and I took Micah in the side room, and I led Micah to Christ. I was just back at that church 2 weeks ago, and this young man walks up to me. He said, "Mr. Savinsky, when you were here 2 years ago, you led me to Jesus Christ. My name is Micah." I said, "Micah, I remember that." You know what, Micah's life? Micah's life was transformed. You know why? Because he saw his need of Christ. A person could be religious and be in darkness. A person could be a drunk and be in darkness. But when Christ is revealed as the light of the world and you've got to come to Him, then Christ can save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. With every head bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to have Christy play a song of "Have Thine Own Way" tonight. Before she plays our song with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if you are here tonight and you say, "You know, Jerry, in my life I have never recalled the time when someone has ever taken the Bible, the Word of God, and they've showed me how I can invite Jesus Christ into my life. And I'd love to find out how Christ could save me. Because I'm searching. And I've often thought, when I die, where am I going to spend eternity? And I'd love to know that I can go to heaven. And I don't know the Bible and I don't know what to do, but I know this much. I am searching. I'd like to know how Christ could save me." As you start playing our song of "Have Thine Own Way" this time with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, if that's so, would you quietly raise your hand with me right now and say, "Bob, a raised hand. You know what? I really have never in my life ever had anyone show me how to come to Christ." Would you voice that with a raised hand right now? And put your hand right back down. If there's anyone like that, would you raise it with me at this time? Okay, as I go on. As a child of God, perhaps you say, "Brother Savinsky, the message has really helped me. And there's some needs in my life as a child of God that's been addressed. And I realize this evening my life ought to be peculiar, but I've caved in to pressure." Perhaps you say, "Brother Savinsky, There's people putting question marks because of my conduct. And I need to deal with something in my life. Or else, you say, Brother Jerry, I've never thought of the fact I'm a pilgrim. There could be some young man or some young lady in this room tonight that God's speaking your life. And you would love to give your life to His service. You've never done this before, but tonight you'd love to surrender your life for God's service. If that's so, in a moment when we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and as she plays a song of Have Thine Own Way, I'm going to invite you to come down this aisle. Regardless of what you need as a child of God, if you're unsaved, you come, let Christ save you. Our dear Father, we do pray in Christ's name that you bless this service. May the Savior be honored, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.